When the long night shaded into dawn, Sam Flintlock, still staked out on the ground next to O'Hara, looked around him at what, at first glance, looked like a Chihuahua Apache rancheria with a dozen dome-shaped wiki-ups made from poles of oak and willow covered with brush. But unlike an Apache encampment, there were no horses and no evidence of pottery and baskets. In their stead, store-bought iron and brass pots and pans littered the ground around the fire that burned at the center of the village. In front of each dwelling, a human skull spiked on a stake looked out on the camp and grinned. The place smelled rank, a vile mixture of stenches that Flintlock couldn't identify, nor did he want to.
This isn't a village, it's a pigsty.
Now that's giving pigs a bad name.
Scattered outside the dwellings, Flintlock saw evidence of bones that had been cracked open to get at the marrow. He had no doubt that some of them were human. But the real horror of the place didn't hit him until later, when the gates of hell opened. A slatternly woman holding ribbons of different colors appeared. A big man with a meat cleaver accompanied her. A crowd soon gathered, close to 100 men, women, and children, all dressed alike in homespun short tunics and knee-high moccasins. With them, a thin fiddler in a tattered frock coat danced and played. And like the rest of them, he was dirty, with matted, stringy hair, and his clothing was stained and apparently never washed. Flintlock's eyes searched the crowd for an attractive female or a handsome man. There was none in evidence, just pale faces and dead eyes. As the fiddler played, an old, wrinkled crone stepped out of the crowd, a yard of thin blue ribbon in her hand. She stopped in front of O'Hara, studied him for a few moments, and then bent over and with both hands she felt him all over, chest, arms, legs, and back. Apparently unsatisfied, she kicked O'Hara in the leg and then moved to Flintlock. Behind her, the crowd watched with close interest, and the other women with colored ribbons seemed impatient. The crone, one of her eyes milky white, reached out with skeletal hands and felt Flintlock's heavy shoulders and arms.
Get the hell away from me!
The woman ignored him, did the same to his legs, and smiled. She tied her blue ribbon around Flintlock's left leg. The man with a meat cleaver, a dull-eyed brute with a massive hairy chest and shoulders, grinned at the crone.
An excellent choice, Sister Hortense.
He's a big one. A lot of good chewing meat on his bones.
Next!
The woman holding a pink ribbon tied it around Flintlock's head.
Ah, you have excellent taste, Sister Clara.
It's the best there is for soup.
Next!
And so it went on, woman after woman making her choice, until Flintlock and O'Hara were covered with colored ribbons, including the pink band tied around Flintlock's head, and another in a delicate shade of green around O'Hara's. By this time, Flintlock and O'Hara were both struggling against their bonds, but they were totally ignored, as though they were animals waiting for slaughter, which they were. More humiliation and fear was to follow. The big man laid his cleaver aside, untied Flintlock's ankles, ignored his attempts to kick him, and pulled off both of Flintlock's boots. Working deftly, he stripped Flintlock of his belt and pulled off his pants and long johns. He then replaced the colored ribbons, tying them loosely. Satisfied, Cleaver Man roped both ankles again and picked up his heavy chopper.
Sister Hortense, this way if you please.
The old crone stepped forward, a blood-crusted cloth the size of a bathhouse towel held between her arms. She held it up.
Just put it in here, Brother Cyrus.
I'll be ready to serve you in just a moment.
Brother Cyrus removed the red ribbon and then stomped hard on Flintlock's knee with his booted foot. He pinned the limb to the ground. He could chop down with the cleaver and sever the leg at the top of the thigh without having to make too many cuts.